Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Today we continue to learn about the lost shipwreck of Paul from Bob Cornuke, and we will investigate with Marvin McIlvaney on our Bible in the News report. Last time, we began to learn clues and unfold the centuries-old mystery of the lost shipwreck of Paul. Author and archaeologist Bob Cornuke continues to share his amazing journey with us and staff evangelist James Collins. Let's listen in.
The truth of the Bible is obvious to anyone willing to fairly investigate it. It has been confirmed countless times by archaeology and other sciences. The Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The truth within the pages of Scripture has changed the lives of millions of people who have placed their faith in Christ. The Bible is truth. In Acts chapter 27 and 28, Luke describes a shipwreck. Luke wrote more words about that voyage and shipwreck than were included in the entire creation account in Genesis. Through Luke's carefully detailed account of the voyage and shipwreck, we're going to take a journey back in time to find the truth. We're going to find the remains of that shipwreck. More precisely, we're going to find the four anchors described in the Bible that were abandoned in the sea. On the program with me today is a man who has been called the modern-day Indiana Jones. He is biblical explorer Bob Cornuke. Bob is a former FBI-trained police investigator and SWAT team member, and he uses his investigative skills to search the world over for lost locations described in the Bible. Bob has participated in over 70 international expeditions, including searching for the real Mount Sinai in Egypt and Saudi Arabia, exploring in Turkey along with Apollo 15 astronaut Jim Irwin for the remains of Noah's Ark, following ancient Assyrian and Babylonian flood accounts in Iran, and tracking the Ark of the Covenant from Israel to Egypt and across the Ethiopian highlands. A few years ago, off the coast of Malta, Bob Cornuke's research team found the probable location of Paul's shipwreck, more specifically the accounting of all four anchors as described in Acts 27. Bob detailed how he came to discover the anchors in his page-turning book, The Lost Shipwreck of Paul, and I know after you hear him share more of his story today, you'll want to take advantage of our special offer and get your own copy. Bob, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Bob, this is an incredible book. I said on yesterday's program that the discovery of these four anchors is probably the greatest archaeological find since the Dead Sea Scrolls. But sadly, this story hasn't achieved the attention that I think it deserves. And you believe that's because it's about anchors and not about the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes, I'm not a good promoter. I like to just put the word out there. And in time, I believe God will use this story for His purpose and for His glory. And it's getting a lot of press after all these years. And I'm getting a lot of people wanting this book. I get emails almost every day. It seems to be getting traction now, even after all these years after I wrote the book. But people do tell me it's a pretty exciting book, and I'm proud of that.
It reads almost like an adventure novel, a detective story. It's very exciting, fast-paced. It flows really well. Great book. One of my favorites. I must tell you that the book came out, I was in seminary, and I had been a student of secular schools. I went to a university, secular university, and so I had been beaten down with, you know, the Bible's full of fairy tales. It's not truth. It's not real. And when I came to faith and then the Lord called me to ministry, I struggled with that for some time. I remember when this book came out and I read it, I was just so excited, so thrilled that here's a book that shows the truth of God's Word.
Thank you. Yes, it did the same thing for me. It shows that Luke is chronically accurate and down to the smallest details in Scripture. Scripture is a well-milled machine. Every little moving part has purpose. Every little dot and tittle has something that God is revealing to. The Bible is God's revelation of Himself to man. And so if we follow the Bible as a roadmap and as a compass, you can find your way in life, you can find your way in your spiritual journey, you can find your way if you want to find lost locations in the Bible as I do. And the Bible has served me so, so well. And I have so many scholars that say, why are you so successful in all this stuff? And I say, I'm using the Bible, and they just are awed with that. I spoke at a big university here in Colorado. They had me come speak on Bible archaeology, so when I forgot my Bible, and in those days we didn't have the electronic stuff that we have today, but I forgot my Bible, and I'm teaching this class, and so I went in front of this class, and the instructor said, Bob's going to speak on Bible archaeology. Well, I didn't have my Bible, and so I asked the students if they had a Bible that I could read from, and they didn't. and the instructor didn't. Nobody had a Bible. They're teaching on Bible archaeology without the Bible. And that's the sad testimony of our culture today.
Yes, sir. Well, remind us once again, now, how did you come to look for Paul's shipwreck?
I got shipwrecked myself over off the coast of Malta. It was a very scary story. Time just precludes us from going into great detail. Suffice it to say that it was a very, very scary situation and a near-death situation. We're sinking on a ship in a big storm in Africa. The waves were crashing over the boat. It was sinking, and we were 3.5 miles from shore. No life vest. There were hippos and crocodiles along the shoreline. It's one of those situations where, you know, it's not going to turn out well. And sure enough, some fishermen saw us out there at night, and they came out, and they put us in their small skiffs, and they took us to shore, and they literally saved our lives. And so I got out my Bible the next day and said, shipwreck, shipwreck, shipwreck. What is God going to teach me about this? And sure enough, I read in the Bible about Paul being shipwrecked and about these anchors. And what really got me was when the verse said, and they were left in the sea, when they cut the anchors in the stern and they left them in the sea, I was just blown away. I'm saying, could these things still be there? And I found out that they could, because those anchors were made out of lead in those days. Just picture like a railroad tie about 5 feet long with a square hole in it. And that's pretty much what you're going to find left. That's the crossbar of the anchor, and it lead is very resilient against salt water and could last another thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And these anchors, sure enough, were left in the sea, and sure enough, I think we located exactly where they were, and we could still, and I saw the anchors today. The divers that found them in the late 60s and 70s didn't know what they had, and they found Paul's shipwreck. And those sailors, by the way, when I read from the Bible and what they'd found, you should have seen their faces and how they wept. God would use them in such a unique way.
Well, I want to encourage our listeners to read Acts 27 and 28 and also get a copy of this book. For those who are unfamiliar with the story, can you bring us up to date, fill us in again on how the Apostle Paul ended up shipwrecked on the island that we call Malta?
Yeah, Paul was arrested in Jerusalem at the temple, falsely accused of offering improper offerings. But anyway, he was a political hot potato. Everybody knew Paul, and he was a Roman citizen. That's what messed it up for everybody. What do you do with a Roman citizen who's a Christian? So he was taken to Caesarea. He languished there in a jail for 2 years, and then he said, I have a right to see Caesar. And so an all-expense-paid trip, he was taken from Caesarea, Philippi. He was taken up to Sidon, and there he was sick. He got off the boat, then he went and sailed on a small merchant ship to Myra, which is a big port city in southern area of Asia Minor. And then he got on a big Alexandrian grain freighter, and he was taken to Malta, and they encountered a big storm that lasted 14 days. The ship was literally torn apart. In the evening of the 14th night, they heard waves crashing. They knew they're in front of somewhere. They learned later it was in Malta. The Bible describes it this way. It says there was a bay with a beach in front of them. There was a reef just below the water where waves were crashing. The Bible uses the term topon to thalasson. Luke uses that word, that Greek word, which means where two seas come together, slap together. There was a bay with a beach, and so if you go to Malta today, there's only one place that could be, and that's in the Moonshar Reef on the southeast coast of Malta. No other place fits that. It's literally a knuckle of rock that comes out of the ocean. There's no bay with beaches anywhere to speak of, but this place has a bay with a beach, and sure enough, it all fit. There's a reef. So we went out. The Bible says they cut the anchors loose at 90 feet, and these divers dove down, and exactly, I mean, we went down and took soundings, and exactly 90 feet, as the Bible said, which is 15 fathoms, Scripture says, which is 90 feet, 6 feet to a fathom. And these divers went down and measured, and they came up and said, Bob, it's exactly 90 feet where these anchors were found. And these anchors were found by spear fishermen in the late 60s and early 70s. They brought them up with tanks of air, and they put their regulators underneath these big 50-gallon drums tied with ropes, and they tied the ropes around these anchors. They lifted them up, and then they carried them to shore. And so two of them are in the museum. I bought two of them for $20,000. The press said that, oh, he's buying them to make money on them. I was buying them to donate to the museum, so no one ever take them from Malta as a national and a holy treasure from Malta. So they're in the museum if everybody wants to go see them over there.
Well, once again, I'm talking with Bob Cornuke about his amazing book, The Lost Shipwreck of Paul. Bob writes in a way that is very easy to understand. The book is not deep theology. It's an adventure detective story. In fact, this book would make a great gift for a child, grandchild, or a non-Christian. And you can order a copy today by calling 1-800-652-1144, or you can order at our website, swrc.com. Tell me, Bob, about your team of divers that you took with you. You took a team with you to Malta originally to look for these before you discovered that the anchors had already been found.
I did. I took some professional divers. I took Jean, I forget his last name, his French name. No, we forget these things. But he was from the Canadian dive team and used to diving on wrecks for the Canadian government. And so we went over there, and he was involved with the diving. And then we also had the divers that lived on Malta. They were just young kids in late 60s and 70s. You know, they were just young guys, and they went out, and they were just more interested in getting these fish. They go down and spearfish these big groupers, and they'd make a lot of money off of it. They sold them to the restaurants because tourism is a very vibrant activity on Malta. It's a beautiful island. These restaurants needed grouper. They went down, and as they're diving, spearfishing, a guy named Tony McAuliffe-Bork shot at a big grouper, missed it. When he went down to retrieve his spear, it had landed right on top of this big kind of gray object that was very unique looking, foreign to the bottom of the ocean. He scraped his knife on it, and it turned out to be kind of a shiny glint of silver. He dug around it. He found out it was a massive 500-pound lead anchor stock from an Alexandrian Roman grain freighter, and over the years, they harvested four more anchors from that exact spot. And you know, there's never been four anchors found in the whole Mediterranean Sea of Roman anchors together, but let alone exactly where Luke says and the exact amount of anchors that Luke talks about in Scripture. Four, right where he said, right in 90 feet of water where these anchors would have been. So to me, it just shows that Luke is so accurate in his narrative.
In my mind, there's no doubt that these are the anchors from Paul's shipwreck. Chuck Missler, who was a friend of yours, said that it's 10 to the 50th power that it's anything but Paul's shipwreck. The evidence is overwhelming, isn't it?
That's 10 with 50 zeros after it. You know, that it's like impossible. But yet people, it's not a head thing, it's a heart thing. People would resist the word of God because of a heart thing and not a head thing. You know, it's you'd have to force feed your mind past reason and logic not to see that these are really the anchors from Paul's shipwreck.
Well, now, in the book, you write about an event that interrupted your search for Paul's shipwreck. That event was 9/11. Tell me, how did the events of September the 11th, 2001, take you from looking for Paul's shipwreck on the island of Malta to war-torn Afghanistan?
The first anchor that we found at Margaret's house, which is Tony's wife, Tony McAuliffe-Bork was one of the discoverers. He died in a dive accident, and his body was lost in that cave for 6 years. But I went to meet with Margaret, and she said, I have one of the anchors in my backyard. And the kids were using it as a teeter-totter, you know, it kind of this big lead-heavy thing. And she said they just use that in the backyard for the kids to play on. It's literally, it takes two people to lift it up, three people. And so I was so excited, and that was September 10th, 2001. So when I was flying back from London on a flight, a United flight, that was September 11th. And I was grounded over in Gander, Newfoundland. So on September 11th, 2001, when the trade centers were hit, I was in the air at the time, but I was the last plane to come out of over there, and from Newfoundland it was grounded. And so I get a phone call right after that, and I got a phone call saying, hey, we'd like you to go to Afghanistan as a war correspondent to find the prison of these two women that were held there, Heather Mercer and Dana Curry. And so I was hired to go over there, and I was a war correspondent in Afghanistan in December of 2001, before the military were even there. So I'm over there getting bombed and everything, filming this stuff. And then I went back to Malta right after that, and we found the second anchor, and then the third anchor, and then the fourth anchor. So it took me about 2 years to find all the anchors.
Once again, I'm talking with Bob Cornuke about his outstanding book, The Lost Shipwreck of Paul. This book will build your faith because it validates the accuracy of Scripture. Bob, this book could be used in an apologetics course, couldn't it?
I think so. I'm very proud of this book. It wasn't just a single effort. A lot of people contributed to the book, and a lot of people were helping along the way. And it's my favorite book. I've written 12, and this is by far my favorite book. I just read it recently again, and I said, man, that's not a bad book. So I was pretty proud of it.
Well, now, you call the four anchors the anchors of hope. Why do you call those four anchors the anchors of hope?
Because today we need hope. We're jaundiced in our faith. You know, you encountered that crisis, you know, going to seminary. A lot of people are today hearing the news say, oh, you know, this guy's all, he's a huckster and he's a liar and he's a this and he's sensationalist. You know, so they just lose their faith. But these are the anchors of hope. I mean, the one anchor that will never, ever fail you is the anchor of Christ. You know, you could tie your stuff to, you know, to pastors. You can tie your life to the church. You can tie your life to your spouse. But there's one thing that will never, ever, 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 ever pull loose, and that is the anchor of Christ. It's funny because the original symbol of Christianity was not the ichthys fish. It was the anchor. There was peacocks and there was doves and other symbols, but the very first symbol of Christianity was the anchor, and I believe it's from Paul Shipwreck.
Well, all of the factors that you have found taken together argue to me convincingly that not only today is St. Thomas Bay the correct site of Paul's shipwreck, but also that the four anchors that you retrieved from those waters, or that the divers retrieved from those waters, were the very anchors mentioned in Acts 27. Like Chuck Missler said, it's got to be 10 to the 50th power that it's anything but Paul's shipwreck. And as such, the anchor that you've actually touched and seen may well be the artifacts mentioned in the New Testament that has been the only artifacts that have been mentioned in the New Testament that have been recovered and preserved in our modern era, nearly 2,000 years after the fact.
I believe so.
Well, we've been talking with Bob Cornuke about his outstanding book, The Lost Shipwreck of Paul. It's a beautiful hardcover book with a section of color photos. It's one of those books that you can't put down. And once again, you can have your own copy at a special price by calling 1-800-652-1144, or you can order today at our website, swrc.com. Bob, I'm so grateful. I've admired your work for years. And again, you said this was probably your favorite of the books that you've written. It's my favorite. I highly recommend it. And I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to spend some time with us here and talk about this great book.
Thank you very much for having me. It's such a blessing.
In September of 2000, Bob Cornuke flew to Malta. That trip marked the start of nearly 2 years of research and discovery in search of the lost anchors described in Acts. The true story of the lost shipwreck of Paul reads like a gripping fiction novel as Bob Cornuke takes readers along with him into the investigation. Suspense and drama unfold in this riveting true account that presents one of the most astounding discoveries of the century. We have the book, The Lost Shipwreck of Paul, available today for a gift of $11 or more. We also have the Lost Shipwreck DVD for a gift of $15 or more, and you can get both the book and DVD for a gift of only $25 or more. Order your book and DVD by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order online, swrc.com. Investigations of individuals are on the rise, not only in America, but around the world. Marvin McIlvaney explores the culture of investigations on today's Bible in the News.
America has become the investigation capital of the world. Donald Trump was investigated the entire time he was president. And even though he is no longer in office, he is still being investigated. Remember the Russian collusion Trump was accused of? Dossier creator Christopher Steele, who was paid with money from the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee, leveled at least a dozen Russian election conspiracy charges against President Trump and his associates. Virtually all of his information came from the KGB, the Kremlin intelligence, according to the dossier. Mrs. Clinton's operatives spread the document to the Justice Department, the FBI, and news outlets. The Democratic Party finance dossier, once celebrated by liberal Washington politicians and journalists, is officially debunked, according to Robert Mueller's 448-page investigative report. Now they are investigating the investigators. I think we would all agree some investigations are appropriate. For example, if you were going to hire someone at your company, you would like to know as much about that person as you could before you made such a big decision regarding your company and the life of the applicant. So you may look on the internet for their name and see what comes up. You may look on Facebook and see what they post, or how many friends they have, or what groups or clubs they belong to. Would you call that an investigation, or simply checking them out, as they say? There's nothing wrong with doing a background check on someone who wants to date your daughter, is there? I mean, I did. He turned out to be okay. But really, if we search hard enough, we can find things on anybody and everybody that they now regret. But does that seem fair? If we are all sinners and need a Savior, aren't we all guilty of something? Case in point, lawyers have taken up the case of U.S. Army Chaplain Major Andrew Calvert after officials announced he was under investigation for comments he had made in support of President Trump's transgender military policy. Quote, "The toxic cancel culture strikes again, this time inside the U.S. military," tweeted First Liberty Institute, a law firm representing Calvert. "We are defending Army Chaplain Andrew Calvert, who's facing career-ending punishment by the Army for expressing his personal views and religious beliefs on his Facebook page. Calvert has been the subject of an onslaught of hostility on social media since he commented on a news article on Facebook. In his comments, Calvert called human biology reality, which the transgender movement is rejecting. He also compared those who accept transgender ideology to those who believe and argue for a flat earth, despite the overwhelming evidence to the contrary, and said that using military resources and funding to facilitate transgenderism was a waste. Soon after he made his comments, U.S. Army officials took action against the chaplain. Calvert was issued a General Officer Memorandum of Reprimand after anonymous screenshots were sent to the 3rd Forces Assistance Brigade's Facebook account. The Alliance said in a statement that they were gravely concerned that Calvert would be punished for his comments regarding a news article on a possible change to the current Department of Defense transgender policy. You have to understand that when Chaplain Calvert made these comments in question, his statements were fully consistent with and supportive of existing Department of Defense policy. It is important to note that his post was also consistent with his sincerely held religious beliefs. They are the same beliefs held by the majority of faith groups in the United States. Chaplain Calvert represents a Christian faith tradition, is a highly decorated soldier, and expressed views within his legal right to express. So what are they investigating? Chaplains, including Chaplain Calvert, should not have their career ruined for following and expressing the teachings of their faith. Liberty McCarter of the First Liberty Institute wrote, quote, "If military chaplains are not permitted to express personal beliefs inspired by their religious convictions, how long until the military targets them for what they teach in their sermons? Either we have freedom of religion or we don't. We have this right enshrined in our First Amendment to our Constitution, which should protect people from an intimidating government or society. This is a chaplain, but any American has the right to freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Calvert is standing up for natural law, which tells us that we are what we are, not we are what we choose to be. And why is society allowing these delusions to dictate how we operate? Common sense is a rare commodity and will soon be totally extinct unless the majority, like Calvert, stand up and speak the truth." A 71-year-old pastor of a North London church was arrested under England's Public Order Act for allegedly making homophobic comments during a public sermon. At least one England-based group, Christian Concern, which defends people of faith, described the incident as a brutal arrest that sets a bad precedent for religious freedom of speech throughout the country. A now viral video recording of the arrest shows the pastor standing on a step stool in a London public square before police approach and appear to physically strike him as he's led away in handcuffs. The pastor told a podcast host Thursday that he was preaching about the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman at the time of his arrest. He is now under investigation. A Polish-Canadian pastor from Alberta, Canada, was arrested for allegedly organizing a church service that ignored COVID social distancing rules and mask mandates. He warned the United States to watch out after what happened to him. He said that Canada has no rights whatsoever. What we have now is some kind of a hybrid between fascism and communism and medical tyranny. The Canadian pastor went viral after he stopped law enforcement officers from shutting down his Easter service and was arrested. He is now under investigation. You may be thinking, well, if they haven't done anything wrong, then they can investigate all they want. But that's not the point. What effect does this proclamation of being under investigation have on the public at large? It has a very chilling effect, and its effects can be measured. The United States is becoming a less Christian country, and the decline in religious affiliation is rapid among younger Americans, new figures show. American Worldview Inventory 2021 found that millennials, ages 18 to 36, when compared with the older generation, 55 and over, are significantly less likely to hold to traditional Bible-based teachings, including the nature of God, original sin, salvation, creation, life after death, human purpose, and biblical morality. The religious landscape of the United States continues to change at a fast clip. In Pew Research Center telephone surveys conducted in 2018 and 2019, 65% of American adults described themselves as Christians when asked about their religion, down 12 percentage points over the past decade. Meanwhile, the religiously unaffiliated share of the population, consisting of people who describe their religious identity as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, now stands at 26%, up 17%. Millennials were more likely than older Americans to believe in horoscopes, karma, evolution, and reincarnation. They also hold to the beliefs that success is defined by personal happiness. Owning property fosters economic inequality. Abortions and premarital sex are okay, and getting even with others is defensible. So, is the church in danger? Not at all. There will always be a remnant. Romans 11:5 says, "Even so then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace." And we read in Romans 9:27, "Elias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved." They can keep on arresting pastors and investigating them. They can keep on promoting the LGBT lifestyle. They can be confused about their gender. They can pretend they are something they're not. They fulfill Romans 1:28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind."
In our Resource Corner today, we're offering The Lost Shipwreck of Paul book and DVD. Both can be yours for a gift of $25 or more. Just call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order the book and DVD online, swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.